This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And now for something completely different.
Watch us on YouTube.
Listen on your favourite podcast platform.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
Strap yourself in.
Because we're set up, switched on and ready to go.
On Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.
And now, here's your host.
He talks right, he knows his stuff, and he knows how to make a girl laugh.
Thank you! I'm here all week. Right, Chris.
All right, good evening, good afternoon, good morning, good day, good night, goodbye. How the devil are you all? Welcome along to Sloppy Seconds. Yes, if you joined in earlier for the show, I was with Doug and we picked who we thought would qualify from each of the groups. We had one nutter that popped in that said North Macedonia were going to do well. And we had another nutter that popped in and said Luxembourg were going to do well. One of those was Brad. I'll leave you to guess which one was which. How are you all? It is question time, Monday at 9 o'clock. It's our last show for a while with the Three Musketeers all together. Well, one of us is Porthos. I'm not sure which. And I don't ever remember Jim Davison being one of the Three Musketeers. But let's say hello on his last week before he jets off on his holidays. Dave, good evening, sir.
All right, Chris.
How the devil are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Thanks. I think I'm probably Nobos or something like that.
I never said that.
I feel like it.
Have you got your Speedos packed?
I have indeed, yes. Yes. They fit now as well.
That's just the cold weather, mate. Where about you going off to Australia?
Indeed. Yeah.
Lovely, love. As you know, I there's a certain part of Australia I love. It's where the World Cup, Ladies World Cup is coming from this summer.
Okay.
Australia and New Zealand. So if you want to kind of stay out there and be our reporter on the ground.
Yeah, well, I would.
I can't offer you any money, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I think I need to get back to see in May to see what's going to happen. I'd be there at Leicester, see us stay up.
Oh, see whether, yeah. To be honest with you, if I was you, I'd stay up.
I've been in touch with a few Australian supporters groups, and they've told me where to go and watch the games. But I think it's like 2 o'clock in the morning or something. So
it is.
I'm not sure the bars will be open at that time.
Well, I've got to admit, the next Formula One watch along I do is the Australian one in 2 weeks' time. That starts at about 6 o'clock in the morning. Whereabouts in Australia are you going to?
You're going to Perth. That's where my daughter is.
Right. Yeah. You couldn't be any further away. I went to Cairns, which is right at the top the northeast. You're at the bottom of the southwest.
Yeah, good news is it's free accommodation for a month.
What can you say?
So I'm hoping.
Who are you flying with?
Qantas. Going direct.
Are you going on the direct one, are you?
Yeah.
I went with Singapore via, would you believe, Singapore. But have a great time, but we'll speak to you before you go. And then we'll find out. Brad, how's Manchester? Nice and warm and cosy?
Oh, yeah. It's commonly known as the English Australia, is Manchester.
The Perth of the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah. Oh, for English fans of cricket, the Sydney Cricket Ground, because it's always filled with disappointment when we play there. So, yeah. Manchester is the Sydney Cricket Ground to what England cricket fans.
Wow. That was the last time I was there, Brad, at the 5-0.
Oh, God.
You had tickets for Sydney and it was embarrassing. Really was.
Yeah, it really, yeah. It really was.
Still pissed, actually, at the time.
There he was. They admitted to over-celebrating it, didn't they?
Yeah.
I went to Cairns, like I say, northwest Australia. When people say, like, oh, you know, if you get a bit of time, just nip down and see, like, you know, the Opera House or the bridge at Sydney. It's like flying to bloody Athens. That it's not just the road trip, but welcome along, Dara is in. Evening, gents. How are you, Dara? Welcome along. Thank you for joining us. And I've just lost my other comment, Boris. We will ask that in a second. I just want to start, though, with the topic which we always start off and then we'll come and carry on talking and bring the questions and topics from the chat. But I'm going to throw this one at you first, Brad.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, we've got a brilliant new central defender, Amati. How do we manage without him?
It's easy enough for the Amate gang that is Dave. You know, he's the chief general leader of them. He gives out a basket of bounties to anybody who praises Amate enough. So I always win that week. Now, see, the thing is, right? And I understand the frustrations behind Amate, but for me, I'm instantly going to come out and say Amate is a very particular level defender, and this is why I said, was it on the post match I said about Harry Suter being our best signing technically over the two windows? Because Amati can play well when he's got a no nonsense bloke next to him, and that phases that to a degree, but sometimes he makes even us lot panic watching him on the ball sometimes when there's players around him. Sutar's of the next level, and when he's defending like that and he's just putting it into Rose Ed and he's putting it out for throw-ins and he's kicking it up the pitch so far they're taking a throw-in in their own half, Amati can actually do that defending duty, and that's what he needs to be a successful defender. Sometimes, you know, I said about, you know, playing the two types of defenders together doesn't work, and we kind of saw that a little bit. When FaZe and Amati played together, they can be solid, but they're both capable of mistakes. And when one of them, or both of them, are making mistakes, that's when it doesn't go well for Leicester. But when you've got a Sutar, who's Johnny Evans-esque in his no-nonsense strides, he just makes Amati look a better defender, in my opinion. Brings out the best in them.
your man of the match almost. I think you gave him 10, didn't you?
No, I didn't go that high. Not that crazy. I don't want Dave to fall out of his. I don't want Dave to give him to fall out of his seat just yet. We'll save that to later on in the show.
Yeah. You gave him a 7, though. I mean, can you find any way of saying he had a good game, Dave?
Well, he didn't make a mistake, did he? I can't remember one. No. That's the first time I've seen him not make a mistake. So, yes, 7, fine. I mean, I've got nothing against the guy. I mean, you know, he's a Leicester player. He has been for a long time. No, I haven't. I just can't believe a professional makes schoolboy errors like he does all the time. That's my only argument. When people like Danny Ward are getting so much stick. And, you know, when I thought against Southampton, he was that man of the match. And then he's dropped. I don't get it. I really don't get it. You know, I mean, forget that even the penalty side was good, but he did a couple of this. He's not really done a lot wrong that I know of. Yeah, all right. The goal, Chilwell's goal, perhaps was, you know, shouldn't have been allowed in, but, you know, everybody else has been making mistakes and they've been picked again.
Well, Marty was for a while, wasn't he? Let's talk Ward for a minute then. We said, didn't we, Brad, after the game, Iverson didn't do a lot wrong, but he didn't really do a lot right because he didn't have a lot to do. And the goal wasn't his fault, really, was it?
Well, I know I said tongue-in-cheek Ward would have saved it, didn't I? You knew I was going to do that just for the thing because I'm with Dave. I don't get it. I don't know if it's Leicester syndrome. And by that, I mean because Iverson's homegrown, and Ward's had a few bad moments in what's been a dire season all round, that fans are so easy to cast him aside. I don't understand if people are suffering from self-club syndrome, like, you know, Leicester fans, Leicester syndrome, is to make it more obvious, because I wonder if them lot, who maybe saw that Iverson, you know, concede that goal and go, ah, oh, it's one of them, it's just a tucky deflection. I wonder if Danny Ward was in goal, would it have been, Danny Ward this, Danny Ward that, Danny Ward's this, Danny Ward's that. He could have saved it. He should have stayed on his feet. And it just annoys me. I don't get why we have this switch in our brains as football fans that we seem to do this. It's the same with Amarty. I mean, Terry there saying, oh, it shows how desperate we've got. What, we're not supposed to praise a Leicester player when they have a good performance? I don't think he's up to the calibre of what Leicester are hoping to achieve, which is battling for the top 8 of European football. But I will be damned if you don't say that Amarty could not get in any some of these Premier League defensive sides and do a good enough job for other clubs. You know, we didn't pay a lot for him in the mainframe. Let's remember what we brought these players for. Did we buy Daniel Amarty with the intention of playing them as a starting centre-back? No. Did Daniel Amarty ever come in here thinking he was going to be nailed on, picked in the 11? If you consider the centre-backs we've had since he's been here, we forget he's actually technically part of the Premier League winning squad, right? You think of the parents that he's had to sit behind. Do you think we ever signed him and said, yeah, by the way, we're going to make you our number one choice centre-back over Hoover Morgan? Or we're going to pick you over Maguire? We're going to pick you over French Voldemort? We're going to pick you over our, you know, Turkish tearaway? When he was actually playing for us and had his head screwed on, so didn't you? No, he came in here to fight for a squad role. I think some people expect absolute brilliance of the top calibre from certain amount of players that, yes, have been gifted a lot of game time, but as we talk about week in, week out, Chris, it ain't because they're the fittest option and the best player. It's because they're the only option at times. And I just think certain players from certain sections of fans, and this isn't aimed at you, Dave, in terms of Amarty, because I can laugh about it and I do see where you're coming from. It is, because you're right, we'll keep on the show long. But my point is, maybe evaluate what he is as a player and what he's actually meant to be as a squad, and not expect him to perform like an absolute superstar for 38 out of the 40-odd games a week, because he's not. He was never brought in to play that role for us.
I've got to just say, by the way, before we move on, a comment that I received post-match, after the post-match show, was the guy on the right is making a lot of sense. And that was you. Brad. You were on the right, I believe. So that was on the post-match. So no idea who he is. Apparently he's gone back into the mental home, but he does say he didn't say he
was. I would like to thank my mother for raising me. I'd like to thank my fans. This award and prestige.
Ray, I think he was more dragged up, wasn't it?
switch him off, for fuck's sake.
Can I just say,
in my defence, Amati is a midfielder. I think we brought him.
Technically, he's a he comes across more as a jack of all trades and
yeah,
but I think okay at some.
He'd be better in midfield than Samari, because that's what people saw in him. And I think Amati in midfield would be okay, because he can make mistakes there. That odd mistake is not an issue because they all do it. When you do it in the back four, as we know, like the goalkeeper, and you're screwed, then the spotlight goes on you. Mm. And he's not a defender. Okay, yeah, you're right, Brad. He's doing a decent job for what he is, but he's a good midfielder.
I think he was originally registered as a CDM for Leicester, wasn't he?
I think what we've got to say is we would be totally have been fucked without him.
Exactly.
Well, the way Brendan's treated our two central defenders,
Well, yes, and I think as well,
how good they are.
You've got to think that it's a bit like a Phil Neville, if you like, you know, jack of all trades, master of none, if you like. But I want to come on to Danny Ward because you mentioned Danny Ward. I don't think he's particularly done much wrong. You know, you've got a goalkeeper that we bought as backup, let's be honest with you, to Schmeichel, for £12 million, which is a hell of a lot of money for a backup goalkeeper. Due to the form and the fact that Schmeichel never got injured, he never really got that many games. He only ever appeared in the cups and then only in the early rounds. And he hasn't really kicked up any fuss or anything like that. So, you know, he's done his job. So he hasn't had that chance to, because we don't have a reserve team anymore, do we? You know, it's down to the youngsters, so he's not going to get regular football. So he came in this season, and like I've always said, when you put a goalkeeper, it could be Gordon Banks, behind a top four that's changing every couple of weeks, from a three to a four to a five to a, even if it's a four for 2 weeks, it's different players within that four. Any goalkeeper, hopefully you would agree with this, Brad, any goalkeeper would struggle. But, Dave, do you think Ward is suffering from the fact that he followed Schmeichel, just as Chilwell, I think, struggled with the fans because the fact that he followed Fuchs, and a bit like Dakar is struggling because he's following Vardy? When a player comes in and follows people that are legends like that, and I don't use that word lightly, I think all those three players were, I think any player that replaces them, unless they hit the ground and they're absolutely perfect spot on from day one, they're not always going to have get the fans backing, are they, Dave?
No, it's possible. I mean, I never really thought of Chilwell replacing Fuchs. I know they're both left backs or were, but I never saw it that way. Schmeichel, we used to moan like hell about him because he couldn't come out for crosses. He'd never catch the ball on crosses. Danny Ward is pretty good in the air. He's pretty good with those crosses. Okay, Schmeichel, you can never be better than he was on stopping. I mean, nobody was. Nobody in the Premier League. So that's going to be a hard act to follow anyway. I think, who was the other one you said?
Vardy and Dakar.
Well, nobody's going to follow Vardy, are they? But we would like Dakar to have a chance to follow him. And we'd also like two forwards, but that's not going to happen. And Brad, none of them are good enough to play up front on their own.
Do you think that has that does, not saying it makes them a bad player, because Chilwell, England left back, and still getting booed by some of our fans. Some fans you just can't please. And do you think it's because of who? It's like managers. Whoever followed Martin O'Neill was going to struggle. Whoever followed Sir Alex Ferguson was going to struggle. And is it not the same? And I think with Fuchs, Schmeichel and Vardy, I think we are looking at fans' favourites there. And whoever's, you know, say follows them, do you not think they're going to have a bit of a fight on their hands to win the crowd over?
Well, yeah, of course you are. I mean, that's anywhere. Leicester, Liverpool, Man City, Man United. And I mean, well, Man City fans, I mean, the ones that remember the Championship in Division 1 days, not these ones that only have been in there since the rich, because they don't know loyalty. He says tongue-in-cheek. But yeah, you have that. We
it's
have that.
Like, I mean, when you join a Facebook group just to follow the Brazilian, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I know. Exactly right. Yeah. Only wants all the content, but only wants really Tete stuff. But yeah, I mean, and you get that everywhere as well. But I mean, it was the same with Heskey when we sold him. I mean, we all know, and yeah, you've had the interview, guys, check that out after this, you know, with Colin Moore, the infamous, you know, I always say the ones that got away, the, you know, I know Heskey was the move, but I always say that was a partnership we missed out on as Leicester fans. We were robbed of it. We all have expectations. I mean, Casey Keller. Did we really think he was going to do what Kevin Paul was doing for us in Division 1? You know, that was a big boots to fill. He filled it. You know, Tim Flowers was a little different because he had experience and so was Walker. But we've had periods where these keepers that we plucked from divisions or someone's reserves and everybody's gone, oh, no. And then look, when we actually gave them time then, you know, look at what they went on to achieve. I mean, Casey Keller to this day is still my favourite Leicester goalkeeper, always will. There's a sentiment story behind that as well, but he always was. I loved how athletic he was and flew around the goal. And I don't know, I did hear what Rodgers said about how he sat down and had a long chat. So I would like to think it hasn't dented Danny Ward's confidence too much. I'm sure it's going naturally because he's been dropped from the number one responsibility. But I wonder if maybe his confidence has got to a point where the performances were showing in training and that's what made him make the call. Went, look, you need to step out of the limelight. I do see you as a keeper that we can have here, but obviously your confidence taken up. Let's get you back to ground zero and give Iverson a chance. But the problem is, every fan base has it. Like I said, the Leicester syndrome in terms of, I wonder if fans would be screaming for Alex Smith is to be stepping in if he was our number two and we didn't have Iverson. You know what I mean? I get he's a Leicester lad and I always want the youngsters that come up to do well. I was one of them that didn't actually really boo Chilwell or anybody that's ever developed through, because I like the fact that the system is shown faith in. I think we're one of the few clubs that still remember how the youth system works. I just think it's met with a twinge of Iverson's a homegrown boy. He's in our reserves. He's one of us. He's been here years. Give him a shot. And it's like, we're in a bad time and drew and beat League Two side 1-0. I mean, I would argue at least Danny Ward had to make penalty saves against the likes of Man City and, you know, in Wolves when he played cup games, didn't he? Yeah. He didn't get too many Peterboroughs.
Dave, you still with us?
I'm with you.
Okay. I can breathe now. I can breathe, guys. Sorry. It's my union obligation if I take my membership back.
Listening and learning. I can't believe Casey Keller's your favourite goalkeeper. Mind you, you're young, aren't you? That's the difference. I mean, I grew up with Banks.
It's my year, and I have a sentiment reason behind it, actually, as well, more than that. But
yeah, you do. When you've got a player, like, I'm going to use Christian Fuchs as the example, of everybody wanted him to score a goal. Everybody loved him. It was Fuchs whenever he got free. You know, the guy was just loved. He was. You know, you can remember the egg trick that he did with Okazaki in training. You know, he's just a guy. So whoever follows that is always, in my opinion, going to struggle. But I want to come back now to, I think it was last week when we looked at the potential table as it would expand over the...
That went well, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, when we hit. You mean that season we finished in Europe because we predicted it?
I'm not sure what happened, because the points did seem to go up every week, but some teams ended up having played only 35 games. I'm not totally sure what happened. But looking at, I know it's a often used word, Dave, but, you know, six-pointers and every game's a cup final. But I'm looking at the games we've got left, which I think is 11 now, isn't it? And I've picked out some here, which are Palace, Wolves, Leeds, Everton, and West Ham. They are all the teams that we are playing that are in and around us. They are the real cup finals. They are the real six-pointers, are they not, Dave?
Well, I'd have thought we'd have beaten Leeds, Everton, Palace, but I'm not sure now. Palace have done the managed job. Everton showed a little bit of bottle, didn't they, at the weekend? And Leeds, well, a lot of bottle. We don't show that bottle. We need to go back to the old Leicester that was a cup team and fighting for every ball and chasing down the opposition, you know, and not thinking we're better than anybody else. Unless we do that, like Leeds, Everton are doing, Palace aren't yet, but if they get, well, they're not getting Roy back, are they? Surely.
If they do, they go down.
Yeah, they might get.
We hope they are.
Steve Parrish will probably go for Sam Allardyce or somebody like that.
Because Gary Megson, just to go old school.
Yeah. Who was it who screwed them for a few million? No, Tony Pulis, wasn't it? They could get in that. But, you know, I think those three games now suddenly become a little bit more difficult than they were. I see Bournemouth at home being okay, and Wolves at home. Yeah, I think we'll be okay there, because they still can't score that many goals. But those three worry me now. Mm. They didn't a fortnight ago.
Brad, your thoughts on those games?
I mean, let's cut the crap. Them four games, we just can't lose them.
Mm.
I think that if you cut it down to brass tacks, especially if you include the other two teams that Dave mentioned, like Wolves and Bournemouth, playing them teams we cannot afford to lose. And if we don't lose them games against them, it might just do it. I think if you come out of them games, and even if it's a draw, say at Palace because they're away, and you know maybe people win the odd win here or there, out of them 4 to 6 games, I know you're looking at the three sort of as a cluster of fixtures. I think if we come out of them unbeaten with a win here and there, that's how we stay up this season. I don't think it matters the Liverpool, the Man City game and anything a little bit more difficult than that in between, like Fulham. I think you look at who's around, you go, right, we don't lose to you, we stay up. And that's where the mentality needs to be. I would happily take one or two wins out of them six games if we don't lose the other four.
If we were to win, I've just been giving us 5 points for a win. That'd definitely keep us up, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's Jock Wallace bonus points. That, I like that.
If we were to win all of those games, we'd get 18 points and we would be safe. There wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, Villa are up next after the break. Oh, no, Palace are up next after the break, so they may have the new manager bounce. Villa, I'm prepared to say that we'll probably or could well lose that one. And I'm that. Man City, I don't expect to get anything from. Fulham, who knows? You know, we might end up playing, you know, a five-a-side Fulham team if they feel like they did the other night. Liverpool, Newcastle. I don't expect West Ham to be there. But, I mean, can you imagine, Dave, last day of the season, hosting West Ham, we need to win that to stay up. It's like, here we go again against Stoke, isn't it?
Yeah, God, yeah. I booked the night in the Holiday Inn Express as well. Ready to celebrate big style.
I expect a live feed from there if we stay up. I mean, hopefully it's going to happen before that. But
yeah, it would be nice.
Those games, I mean, West Ham, I've just got a feeling that they're going to get out of it, to be honest with you. So I had forgotten Bournemouth, I've got to be honest with you. But Bournemouth, Palace, Wolves, Leeds, Everton, we've got to be winning those games.
Yeah. But the problem is, the way we're playing at the back, I can't see it. Because every team now seems to know. Things like, we never cover the wide men. We play a sort of centralised back. Even we played four at the back, didn't we, on Saturday? And we still let a goal in from wide. And we do it all the time. We never seem to, you know, when I'm sort of sitting there watching and there's a right winger who's way out there screaming for the ball, any defender we've got there is on the penalty box. And you're thinking, hang on, if he gets the ball, all he's got to do is stick a decent cross in and we've had it. And Chelsea, we had it with Chilwell. Nobody picked Chilwell up. And Saturday, okay, it was a bit of a farce anyway. why everybody ran out like headless chickens, I don't know. But I suppose that's when you've got Tete and Barnes trying to defend. Barnes had the biggest guy in the box, I think, and then he ran away and left him. You know, whether the keeper called out, which he should do, but not like that.
Maybe Barnes is scared of heights.
Yeah, probably.
He didn't fancy getting up like that. He was like, no, I'm not doing it.
But I mean, why put him on him? We've got a giant at centre-half. Why is a small guy picking up a big fella?
As our new set-piece coach, I think, has been hanging around Brendan too long. We used to have that problem before.
Well, he used to put Ndidi on the tallest bloke in the box, didn't he? He used to do that, so it's nothing new.
But Brad, I mean, I did the soapbox show on Life's a Pitch on Sunday morning. I think this was my deadline for Brendan going. Yesterday and today, if he was going to go, that's it. Now I think we are stuck with him till the end of the season.
Oh, yeah.
He will be gone, I think, at the end of the season, no matter which way we go, whether we go up or down, because we can't have another two seasons like we've just had if we want to be the club that we thought we wanted to be. And if we go down...
When's his contract out, Chris?
In 2 years? Sure. I think it is, but I'm not sure. But I wanted, as I say, I mean, Terry's just said there, one draw against Brentford and that's done, all cracks papered over again. I just want to read what Matt Piper was saying after the match on the When You're Smiling podcast on the BBC. Former Leicester winger Matt Piper said he saw grit and quality that he had not seen for some time in the second half performance that secured Leicester a 1-1 draw at Brentford on Saturday. Speaking on the latest When You're Smiling podcast, Piper said, "This was a really good second half performance and a really good point on the road. I'm hoping this will kickstart these last 10 games now. We need to take that desire, that fight, determination. I've seen grit and quality in that second half that I've not seen for some time. That's really good to see." Now, I can't argue with Matt Piper because he's obviously an ex-player. He knows what he's looking at. But it was good, but I don't think I was watching Brazil, which is basically how he's almost described it.
Well, he's seen most of all the games this year. And when you see the Chelsea game, when they were flat as pancakes and nobody cared, nobody bothered, not even the manager bothered, then anything's better. And Brentford, yeah, you know, we did all right, but we should have beat them. You know, we should beat Brentford.
Brad, I mean, Terry says there, one draw against Brentford, like I just said, and that's all they've done, papered over. We've given probably Brentford a bit of a bit of a wet flag there, because they're better than the fact that it's just Brentford that's got promoted. They are the Leicester of a few years ago that are going for Europe.
Yeah, you have to respect the run that Brentford are on. You have to respect the season that they're having. They're having a very good season. There's no divine right to beat anybody in the Premiership, let alone a side that very rarely drops any points at home this season and is having a good season. But it certainly doesn't paper over any of the cracks. We're not sat here suddenly thinking we're safe, we're going to turn it around, we're going to stuff Palace, stuff Everton, stuff, you know, Wolves and bomb. But what we are saying is, for all the dross we've had to sit through since beating Spurs, the dross we've had to sit through as fans, this season alone, knowing how it is, we just have to take some positives from it and look at it as a retrospect. You know, I think Brentford fans, if the shoe was on the other foot and they'd got a point against us, you know, they'd be sat there going, "Hold on a minute, we're fighting for our lives. We deserve that point. We kept ourselves in the game and we really went at you in the second half." We didn't do it, you know.
They did it at the King Power. First game, wasn't it?
Yeah, the first game. And, you know, and the way we started
on that one.
Well, yeah, I mean, the way the season started, that first half, if you was to say, you know, you pause the game right now and says, right, who's going to go on and challenge for the top seven and who's going to be struggling down the bottom come March, you wouldn't have put a penny on it being Brentford up there in 8th, 9th, 7th sort of area come March after that first half. But the way he got them going in the second half and the way the seasons have panned out since, you can't just turn your nose up at a point against Brentford, especially when you look at the season. You don't play a team and go, oh, they've had one good season and 10 bad ones, so they're still a shite side. No, you take them on face value. And the face value is Brentford are having a really good season and don't fear anybody. So it's a good point. It doesn't paper over the cracks, obviously, but it's still a good point to take.
Dave, Gemma, a Brentford fan, says, disappointed not to take all 3 points, but another accomplished performance. Frank's stock only rises. I think Frank is everything that Brendan's not at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. What's Mendy done? Can I interrupt?
Can we come on to Mendy later? Sorry, mate. We get going off at sidetracks here.
Tangents a lot.
Do you think Brentford? Was talk at one point about Frank. You know, we were going to be going after Frank. He ain't going to come now, is he?
If we stay up, he might. Martin O'Neill realised his ambitions because he knew he couldn't take us any further with that ground. You never know. What's the capacity? About 14,000?
Something like that. I mean, I'd like to say that he wouldn't, because he'd have some integrity and commitment to Brentford, and who wouldn't? And this was the same for Claudio. This is the same for anybody who's ever done it. Who wouldn't want to go down in that club's history books as the first manager that took them on a European journey? Group stage is the works. If he got them into Europe, Graham Potter bizarrely did it to Brighton, and look how their season's going. They look like they're going to achieve a very successful season, potentially even an FA Cup final still to be had. So, you know, it shows it doesn't always work when you jump ship, Mr. 10th place Chelsea. So maybe Frank will look at that and go, you know what, I fancy my chances, especially if we get into Europe next season. I would love him, and that as a manager, I think he's got the right attitude and calibre for it, but I would absolutely 1 million respect him to stay at Brentford. Yeah. And again, if you want you want to take perspective with the result, you, like you said, Chris, a Brentford fan's come in here and said, I'm disappointed we didn't beat you, basically. And that tells you how confident that Brentford fan was, given their home form.
Yeah. We'll come on to say Mendy in a second, Dave, but Boris just asking here, why did they play Barnes on the wing when, as we all saw on Saturday, he's much more effective down the middle after he switched with Daka?
Yeah, I think, didn't we on one of these shows say about Barnes playing in the middle? I think I said on the wing, he's not really very effective. Shove him down the middle, Madison behind him.
When Madison was out injured, I said give him that freedom in the middle.
Yeah. I mean, I think we probably all generally agree he's not a winger, but the manager thinks he is. Not just a winger, then go past people, I think his comments were.
Yeah.
Not push and run, isn't it?
He's now ahead of that. He's number one top scorer for the club this season.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't say a lot this season, does it?
Fair. I mean, Brad, who would bring him in? And maybe him and Madison behind, you know, if we stick with a lone striker. But who would you then put on that left wing?
The thing is, you don't need to do that. You don't need to completely scrap the wing, because if you look at when Barnes is on the wing and how we're actually playing, he's only out on the wing when we're trying to absorb a bit of pressure, keep the score low and get ourselves through to half-time. When we're defensive, like we were in that first half against Brentford, and Brentford were running rings round us, he was out on the wing. When we went 1-0 down and came out in the second half and, that's very true, and switched it up and went, and because we had to, we went more attacking. The role he got given then, and when we're attacking, that's when you see the best out of Barnes, is he gets moved from the wing and he gets brought into an inside forward. So we don't need anybody on that left wing. Barnes only plays it now as a defensive duty in games where we're either away from home or we're playing higher calibre opposition. In the likes of Man City, Man United, where Brendan goes, right, lads, we're going to see this out to 0-0, you beautiful human beings, and if we're still in the game, then we'll go attacking and allow you to play your football. It's almost like, when you tell a kid if they do all the chores, they can go and play on the Xbox or PlayStation for an hour. That's how Brendan has Leicester doing it at the moment. 45 minutes. Oh, yeah, it'd be nice when they do it for 90, Terry. That'd be brilliant. If they could have ever done that at any point in the season consistently, we'd be a lot happier. But actually, yeah,
even last season.
Yeah, well, that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Eagle, that's going to be your name from now on. It's on the screen. That's your name. I get confused with Barnes because the other day he went down to the byline, put a cross in, and we got a goal. The other day he came inside and he got a goal on his own. But he is coming inside a hell of a lot more than he's actually going down that wing and getting a cross in, which is when he can, in fairness, probably be more effective.
Well, if you remember when he was on loan at West Brom, that's how he got a lot of his goals, and they were crackers. And he came to Leicester, and I remember thinking, great, you know, this is going to be brilliant. And it took him about half a season to get close. Mm-hmm. I think he's seriously a confidence player. I know lots of them are, but Barnes particularly. Mm-hmm. When we're on fire, when we're doing well, it's like Tete, I'm sorry, but I can't see it. I'm assuming we'd have to be really on top for him to play well. Because I've seen nothing, I don't think
in
I've
the
seen
Mercury, it says Brendan Rodgers set to keep faith in underwhelming Leicester City star. But how many of these do we have to go that are going to be underwhelming? You know, he's come into a team that is not performing, and we are expecting him to be Mahrez Mark II.
Yeah,
that's
the problem.
You know,
And the problem is that, and you love this part, so you'll be glad that I'm bringing it up. When you go and show us the heat map on the post match, Chris, where's he? I know it's not much on this one, and I know it wasn't a lot on this post match, so that. But where do we normally see the majority of him getting the ball and being around? It's in our own half. He's doing a defensive work. It's very, very strange. You know, you can't ask a light bulb to light up your room without screwing it in so it's in its proper place. And you can't ask a right winger to get you goals and assists and light the place on fire when he's struggling to get the ball, you know, helping everybody at the back, trying to win the ball back in his own corner flag. You know, you need to be able to allow the person to do the right roles. And it's the same with Barnes, like I said, and it's the same problem we've got with Tete. If you're telling them to get back in defending, you want your winger to be a trap back and help out, I'm all for it. Great. But allow him to get forward and play to the strengths of the attackers, and we might actually see what we're potentially spending £25 million on.
Hey. I'd be tempted to leave the two up front for things like corners and free kicks. I mean, there's no point in them defending. I haven't seen Tete defend properly anyway. So leave them up front. You're going to take three defenders out. So yeah, that's going to take a few of their players and give us some outlet. We've never got an outlet.
Yeah. You know? It's Brendan says here, talking about Tete, it's the level. You come in that first week, it's all exciting, and you produce a fantastic performance. And then the opponents that we've played against have been really tough opponents. It's been a challenge for him.
Oh, Jesus. He's supposed to be a world-class player, isn't he?
Well, a world-class player with a world-class coach.
Yeah, well, I mean, steady on with the world classness. I mean, he did come from the French leagues.
Yeah, true.
Mahrez and Kante.
Yeah, I know, but they're one in a million, and that's all we talk about them as one in a million. So yeah, I'll let it pass. He's no Rashid Gazelle, at least I'll say that.
I suppose Mahrez took a year, didn't he?
He was dropped in the championship over Knockhart.
Yeah,
I mean. Yeah. That's an excellent point, Dave. Let me ask you this then. Are we expecting too much of players? Because I know you're going to hate me saying this, but Fofana came in and he absolutely hit the ground running. And thank God he did, because, you know, he was going to come in and go into our development squad. And we weren't probably going to see him for a year or two. But he came in, he had to play, hit the ground running. And as it happened, he swam rather than sank. But we then expect Samore to be this championship-winning sort of player that he was in France. We expect, you know, Daka to come in and be scoring at two goals every game. Are we expecting these players, like you say, Mahrez, as brilliant as he was, took ages to settle? you know, took a while to get the team. Are we expecting too much of the players?
But we paid 4 million for Mahrez. Was it 400,000?
Yeah, it was different times, wasn't it? But the actual thing I'm saying is, are we
relatively?
But are we still saying, well, if we pay you 20 million, we expect you to hit the ground running. But if we pay 4 million, then we'll give you a bit of time to settle in.
No,
I don't think you can.
No,
I don't think you can. No, because I think the £20 million player might still be coming from the French league. He's coming into a different country, no friends, no family, and a different level of playing and a different style of playing. Whether you pay
like Man City, not done so bad this year, has he? And okay, mm-hmm. you know, he comes from Germany, but you know, he ain't done bad, has he? First year in the Premier League.
No, but then we had Fofana. Who did that?
And we've had some shockers. And I'm saying, if we're paying that sort of money out, I would rather buy a dozen £4 million players from French League Division 2 that have got, you know, potential talent. Because then at least you're not wasting your money. Hmm?
Like Diabate.
Well, you know.
No, they don't all work out. If every transfer you ever made, teams would be very boring though. And so would Leeds.
You have the casting vote then. 20-30 million you expected to settle in quicker than if we paid 4 million for a player.
The pressure's on more from fans' expectations.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Away days are great, but when you can't play away, there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with Mutt Delivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, but me personally, it takes as long as it takes. Again, whether we like it or not, the French Voldemort's going to be a successful world-class defender. He's going to get caps for France. He's going to do well at Chelsea in the back line. Whether Chelsea overall do well, he's up to Potter, not him. But we know that is. And yes, it's great that Leicester have had these gems, but the thing is, what we're forgetting is when we signed Mahrez, we didn't have any expectations because he only cost us 400 grand. We probably thought this was one of them, bulk up the squad, he ain't going to get in because we had Knockhart. And he hit the ground running and it was like, wow. Well, he didn't. When he got settled in and he showed us what he really could do and we built him up over that year, wow, what a player. And it's the same for Kante. I know he did it flash in the pan straight off and same with Voldemort. But it doesn't necessarily do it. Sometimes you have these, and again, these contracts are a bit weird, and you want to prize an asset away. And you look at, like you said, title winners, right? We sold Drinkwater for 35. We were kind of sold up the river on Kante, but we had the negotiations. It was sort of in the move that Chelsea were sort of interested but weren't willing to commit. And anyway, but my point is, we sold them for 40 million, 50 million, 60 million, 80 million, the French leagues, you can't command that value. We took a title winner that was the French version of Leicester from winning it from nowhere sort of thing, and we only paid 23 million. You still have to adapt. Once in a blue moon, like I said, we've been very blessed over the last 5 years to find a good handful of them players that have done that. But once in a blue moon, someone will get paid a modest fee and they'll adapt to it. Sometimes you've just got to make them go in.
But as Terry said there, for me, Mahrez had, like you said, Mahrez had competition from Knockhart, so he wasn't thrown into the team straight away and expected to do it.
Exactly.
Tete has no competition, therefore maybe he's expected to go in and do it.
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't do it, then we're playing Pratt, who I'm sorry isn't a winger, Maddison, who isn't at his best on the left side. All I'm saying is I do honestly think some of these players, Kevin Keegan, when he went from, was it Stockport, I think, to Liverpool, he never saw the first team at Liverpool for at least a season. He was playing in the reserves, They didn't throw him in and say, go and do it now. So I just think we expect too much of these players straight away.
We do. Don't get me wrong.
If we get somebody from another Premier League club, it's different because they're England-based, they've got the friends, they've got the family. You know, they're used to playing to the English style. But what I'm saying is you get somebody, yes, you get the odd one, like you say, Haaland, Fofana, Kante, we've had them, but not every player is a Haaland, Fofana and Kante. Yeah. You know,
but we need them now. That's the point. So why buy them?
Wait till next year.
But that's the thing as well. That's the thing as well. To kind of add to your point you just made there, Chris. Sometimes it's not even expectation. Sometimes it's you know. So to quote Princess Leia, help us, Tete. You're our only hope because we haven't got another right winger. You know that pressure is on. It's more of desperation than it is. Can any of you honestly?
I don't know.
well, I wanted to go down the you know, the help hope is only one Kenobi, but I'll leave that one there. But no, the only thing is, cast your minds back, and it's all right saying. And I get that Kanaka and Maris was a bit of competition for each other, but we talk about some of these players that we've signed, and they have been a success, and they got straight in the squad. They did well. Did any of you genuinely sit there and think, well, 400 grand for a French League Two player called Riyad Mahrez, yeah, he's going to be a success. Did we spend? No, we didn't. You know, nobody here. And if you say you were from the off, you're lying. You know you are, right?
Well, I didn't like him first season.
He dived
all the time.
Well, yeah. I mean, didn't he also flee St. Mirren's training ground? Wasn't it him that turned up and robbed the bike and left it? But you know what I mean? It's well, no, you can't. But you know, sometimes we're in a desperate situation. If we had a backup right winger, and before you say it, no, I mean a decent standard backup right winger that isn't called Perez or diabetes. I mean a bit of competition like Mahrez had, then I don't think there'd be this expectation around Tete.
Expectation or desperation?
Bit of both. Mm. Bit of both. Expecting because we're desperate, I suppose you could say.
Right, I mean, even let's go back to the point that Dave made, and I'll come back to you because it was your point, is that you pay more for a player and you therefore expect him to do better. And well, not do better, because you obviously that goes without saying, because you're paying more for them, but you expect them to settle in, etc. better. We, unfortunately, as a club, can no longer go and buy the likes of a Tielemans for 40 million. You know, I was reading, we chased the dream to try and get into the top four, and we failed just short and ended up fifth. That is why, and this isn't me talking, this is Rob Tanner from The Athletic, that is now why we are financially in the position that we were. Had we sold Tielemans for 40-odd million, we would have been fine, or Madison, whatever. But obviously that didn't happen. So we're not in the position now that we can go and buy a Haaland or an Odegaard or anybody like that. We do have to shop at the slightly cheaper end. You know, we're not in Aldi like we used to be, but we're certainly in Asda rather than Waitrose, where we did shop for a while. And we all know, you know, look at the money that Ranieri spent and it didn't work out. I just think we've got to give, and I know we're in a difficult situation, but we have to give these players time.
Why have we come away from the model, the Leicester model that was lauded all across the world almost? You know, we buy these players, we've got great scouting.
Well, Rodgers came in, didn't he? And he bought two South Coast defenders that we put nine past.
Yeah, but why, you know, why are we not still having the same scouting methods and system that we had?
We have gone back to that. I mean, I think we lost it a little bit with Ranieri when, you know, when we'd won the Premier League, we were going out and thinking, right, we can now go and buy, who was it we bought up front?
Slimani,
that's it. And the other midfielders that, you know, we couldn't play because we missed it by 13 seconds. We were going out and buying these players because suddenly we could, rather than sticking to the old. Because we thought, we got too, probably got too big for our boots, possibly, you know. Yeah. But I want to come back to your point about Mendy. Do you think, I said this the other day, as a manager, you dread getting the vote of confidence from the chairman. Mm-hmm. Can you get a vote of confidence within a month or so, you're out? That's how it happens. Is it the same with Rodgers as a manager? But if you get a bit of credit off Brendan Rodgers, you know you're not going to see the first team again.
Well, this is what I don't get. I mean, he talks as if everybody's training well. We all trained well this week. We did this. But then you never see him play. Mendy's last game, I think, was... I didn't think he did much wrong. I've seen him make... Well, the goal he scored, that wonder goal, he made two dreadful mistakes before that. And that could have conceded two goals. But was it Tottenham? I can't remember now. Was it Spurs game? I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Spurs were so bad, they couldn't take the chances. But Mendy played, you know, he did a Samari at the back where he just passed the ball to the opposition. And I thought, oh, God, here we go. But then, you know, he did all right and he scored. The next game, I thought he played pretty well. But then he's got dropped and I can't see why. Unless I've missed something. Guys,
he
you tell me.
He got praised, didn't he, Brad? He's the perfect defensive midfielder. He's what, you know, he's what I want. And then, as I say, not unlike the praise that was doused on Hamza Choudhury after the Liverpool game.
Yeah.
And then he goes and drops him. I mean, players must be fat. I'm almost wondering if players go out and say, I'm not going to play well today, because if I do, Brendan Rodgers will praise me and then I'll never play again. Maybe that's why we're in the trouble we are.
No, it's farcical.
Right, to... I accept.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite farcical to say. I get it. It does look that way. But, you know, I think I'm going to be a bit bold on my statement here. I've been ever defiant that Soyuncu's had his head up his arse ever since, well, that dreaded Bournemouth away game, if we all ponder to remember it, you know, where we got absolutely battered. When we were chasing, you know, clinging on to fourth space, he said to bring up his arse. And I think slowly people have realised that maybe Rodgers isn't to blame with certain players, because he tried to praise Hamza Choudhury. But if I remember rightly, a certain young Hamza Choudhury was in that scandal in Thailand. Mm-hmm. Hamza Choudhury was deemed one of...
Was he?
Yeah, he was. I'm pretty sure him and James... I'm sure him and Pearson's son.
Allegedly.
Let's say allegedly, but I'm fairly certain it was. Allegedly.
I haven't got deep pockets for my lawyers. I don't think it was. It was Pearson's son.
Pretty sure, but allegedly. Anyway, but my point still stands. He was one of the...
You could say he said it.
Yeah, Eagle Pickle was my lawyer.
Yeah.
But anyway,
it was Pearson, Tom Hopper, and Adam Smith.
We apologise to
Hamza Choudhury for that.
Hamza was involved.
He was involved in the COVID party.
Exactly. So, definitely that.
Apologies, Hamza. We're not accusing you of being a sex pest.
I just thought he was in definitely one of the photos. Obviously not, but I just
thought that. We can move on.
No. Because that just was the point.
Cost us 3 points at West Ham, which would have got us into fourth place, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, Hamza's a bit of a dodgy case as well, because like I said, he seemed to just be very troubled ever since he's been through our youth. You know, also, he had that game against Liverpool. Oh, I didn't know anything. I just made a point. I was wrong with it. But, you know, the training ground thing with the COVID, he just seems a bit of a troubled character. I like him. I want him to do well, but I don't know how Watford fans are saying about him on loan. I'd like to hear that. But the Mendy thing's actually tapped.
You never know what he's going
to
do.
You know, there's no smoke.
What a Watford fan. They used to come in quite a lot when they were in the Premier League. No, he actually popped in to a chat I was on. I don't think it was on my channel. I think it was on another channel. And he actually said, please, can we keep him? I think he's doing all right for Watford.
Great, maybe he's found his level he can play at then, because they're not having the greatest of season and expectations. But anyway, more on the Mendy and Ndidi thing is, the thing is, he made it very clear that Ndidi is that defensive-minded defensive midfielder, and he sees Mendy as the one he likes to play to be on the aggressive front foot. And when he's wanted to be on the aggressive front foot, Mendy's been playing regularly and starting. And if you look at how the game's played out, the ones, even the Chelsea one where we lost, he went defensive. So that's why Mendy didn't start. He didn't want to exploit the midfield and leave it open because they were going to flood it. Brentford away, they out-muscled us sometimes, and they outnumbered us definitely in the midfield. I think they had a three in midfield against our technically at two when it posed them, and then the wingers came in to make it like a 5-on-3 if they needed. So he would have exploited the middle because he likes to get us on the front foot. Like I said to you in the post-match, had that red card incident happened in the 78th minute and not the 88th, 89th minute, he may have been tempted to put Mendy on and go, all right, let's chance our arm and get 3 points and show that positivity. I actually think it's purely tactical for Mendy. And if we got Palace after the international break, if Brendan decides we're going to go at Palace, even though it's at Selhurst Park or whatever they call these grounds, there's that many ground name changes, sponsorships, only from still Selhurst Park. If he goes that way, I can see Mendy going into the team personally.
You know what, Brad and Chris, that any man opposite manager could pick the substitutions for Leicester without worrying about it, probably within 5 or 10 minutes of when they're made as well. So how can that do you any favours? Samari comes on for one of the other two, Ndidi or Mendy. You know, Vardy comes on for Daka or, you know, all this sort of stuff. And you think, so boringly predictable, it's not going to achieve anything. And Vardy spends the next 10, 15, maybe if he's lucky, 20 minutes running around. And that is it. We're wasting what is still could be one of our prized assets. Nobody gives him the damn ball the way he used to get it.
Do you think we need to clone Ndidi and Mendy? And the son of that have both attributes of blocking and going forward, because one of them's good at one thing and one of them's good at the other.
I'm not sure about Ndidi now. I've not seen him play particularly well. He seems to be bottling out a little bit of the challenges, whereas Samari seems to go through and probably gets booked every game, I think, if he plays. And I don't know. I think the three of them leave a lot to be desired, but indeed, he seems to have lost it since his injury. It may be his injury. I don't know. Slowed him down. Who knows?
Well, I think it takes time, but he's probably had long enough to come back. Mendy, Brad, are we going to see him leave, do you think?
It all depends on Mendy. If he gets told the honesty, which it seems like he has been, and he's fitted into our plans, it all depends on how the meetings go with him and Rodgers. Because if he says, I'm happy to be a squad player or a regular that gets dropped depending on who we're playing and not because of how I'm playing, he might say, I'll sign a 2-year deal. If the idea is, all right, we're going to lose 8 players off the wage bill, we're going to get a bit of money, we're going to cash in on Madison, which sounds like the way they're instantly going, Leicester. Sounds like Brendan Rodgers has got, right, there's the deal, take it or leave it. If not, we know where you stand with Leicester and we'll let you go in the summer. I'm expecting early business from Leicester this summer, and if he's not offered a contract, I can't really blame him, because he's at that part in his career where he thinks, well, no, if I can do a job like this for a calibre side like Leicester in the Premier League, some club's going to want me, and he might get that free move. But he's one that you wouldn't mind if they signed a 2-year contract sort of thing, would you?
I'd love him to. Dave. I'm going to call you Eagle then. Dave.
Call me Susan if it makes you happy, mate.
let's not go down there. That's a show for past midnight. Let me ask you, it's not a trick question. How many signings did we make in the summer?
Was it one? One, wasn't it?
Not in the summer. I apologise, sorry. In the January transfer
window. January.
Yeah.
One, two, three. Was it three or four? Is it four?
What's your final answer?
Four.
Four. Can you name those four?
I can't name the guy that we loaned out.
Yeah, that's the point I was coming to. Because I have forgotten about him, to be totally honest with you. And going back to what we're saying about players being given a time to bed in, we've brought him over and we've loaned him out to OH Leuven, obviously our sister club in Belgium. Nathan Opoku, he's called. Yeah. 21 years old from American side Syracuse. He's not featured that much, but how long do you think before we should give him a chance in at Leicester? I mean, he's going to be there for the rest of this season. Does he come back, or I mean, he'll probably come back for the off season break and the training? Does he go back there? And I'll ask you the same in a second, Brad. But Dave, does he go back there or for another season, or does he get his chance, you know, with Vardy coming to the end?
The state we're in, I can't believe we bought a player to loan him out. I really can't, because we could end up in the championship. And, you know, we need to make sure we stay up. And if he's half that good, give him a go. You know, why not?
Clearly, he's not seen it yet.
Well, nobody knows him, do they? Nobody's seen him play over here. He might just be that guy that does something. You know, the Chris Garland syndrome.
Oh, my God, you're going back a bit now.
Yeah, but it worked. It saved us from relegation.
Brad was an ex-Leicester player.
Saved us from relegation.
I guess. He did.
You know, Brad, but I don't know. I don't get it.
I mean, what do you think, Brad? I mean, 21 years old, I get maybe the fact of why he's gone over there, but shouldn't we be doing that with, you know, I mean, when you come to think, all right, there's always exceptions, but Rooney was 18 when he was getting hat-tricks in the Premier League. You know, are we, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. What are your thoughts, Brad?
It's not the first time we've done something like this. I think it was a case of maybe trying to bolster that side of the squad. You get him brought in. I mean, he was off some scouting thing in America, wasn't it? It was all like a pick you get from over there almost. He was completely free. So we don't know a lot about him. Want to see maybe how, you know, the difference in the game, how it's played over the States to how it is in Europe. Go to Belgium, settle in. He's 21. We forget Dewsbury Hall was 23 before he made his first team debut. Yeah. And if he was ready and we were that desperate, and I know you'll look at Daka and Nacho and Vardy's record this season and go, well, we are desperate, but realistically we're not. We're just, because we're getting the goals from elsewhere, which is counting our blessings. But right now it's just like, if he came in and we've instantly sent him out alone, that's an intent that we've chanced our arm. We think he looks okay. Let's see how he settles in. If he settles in, he'll probably go into our development. I mean, we've talked about it all night, about players getting rushed and done. Luke Thomas, perfect example. You know, fans have gone from going, oh, God, Luke Thomas, get him in. He looks great and amazing. He had that adrenaline and nerves or a mixture of both that probably got him through that first four or five games. But he was never expecting to be playing more than that. He was only expecting to come in as cover for an injured player, maybe sit on the bench. He was never probably expecting to have, 30-odd games to his name as a left-back in the first team. And now, look, where we are as fans, we're thinking, oh, well, we've got Castagne, we've got JJ when he's fit, we've got Christensen. Maybe now we can loan out Thomas. We're not necessarily in a desperate state in terms of needing that 21-year-old in development. I think it might have some, you know, semantics, some sort of weird thing where we got him into bolster the revenue and whatever for the sister club that they own. You don't know what politics are going on there as well. But I can't imagine that if we need him, why put him in the first team? Do we want another Bartosz Kapustka? Do we want another Diabate? No, the safe option would be bring him over from the pond, get him used to the European style of football in Belgium, and then if he actually is any good from that little session that they've been able to scout him from, then we make the transition.
I mean, just he's just done an interview with Belgium newspaper Het Nieuwsblad.
Oh, good paper.
Anybody that knows me will say, well done, Chris. It says here, Leicester is certainly a dream come true. He had offers from the MLS, in fairness, but his dream was to play in Europe. And he said the difference in level is big with the NCAA, which I'm guessing is one of the leagues in America. So a loan to OH Leuven was necessary. This kind of just sums up our season, really. Did you hear about the Italian chef that died? He passed away. it could have been my ex-wife who actually killed him in a hit and run. Well, she did. She tried to drive past him. I'm going to say, Terry, I think you're referring, he was actually a Leicester player that we loaned to Celtic for two seasons, had a great first season at Celtic. Yeah, Benkovic. He wasn't a Celtic player. He was actually a Leicester player. And I'm going to give Roger some credit on that one, because he obviously looked at him and thought, yeah, you're good enough for the Celtic League, for the Scottish League, but you're not good enough for the Premier League. So
he was made of skin and bones and sticky tape as well, didn't he? He always kept getting injured. I mean, God, if you can't make yourself a settled first-team selector in Bristol City, you've got no hope.
Carter Vickers, I've no idea who that is.
He's a youngster, but I thought he was. I thought I recognised the name more as a Tottenham youngster.
Yeah, Doug has just said there, Carter Vickers was at Spurs. But that's the only one I can think of. But I'm gonna end with this comment because I think it will probably just round the show off well. True Red could only be a Nottingham Forest fan comes up with this. Nice international break now to get either Jesse Marsh, Nathan Jones, or Frank Lampard in. I knew that would end the show. Thanks, everybody. Take care. Good night. I did suggest the other day, and you and your soft toys, I'll tell you what.
I'll tell you what, I've got the whole bloody cast of Night Garden wanting to come on your show.
Oh dear. I did suggest, Dave, to the other day to the gentleman to your right, I guess, as you look at it, or left, I'm not sure which, that we could do with a Frank Lampard, Steve Gerrard dream team, maybe.
Fucking hell.
No?
Allegedly.
I've got to be honest with you. I think he's gone either whether we stay up or go down. I think he's gone at the end of the season.
Do you reckon?
I think I did this show on Sunday morning, and it actually makes sense if we're going to stick with him now till the end of the season, because whoever we bring in will then know what division he's playing in. You know, and I know this is going to surprise you, Brad, because it's probably different to what I was saying on Saturday night, but it just shows what a good sleep can do. I think you may have made the comment, you know, whoever you bring in, are they just only going to come in for 12 games, even with a big bonus of staying up? We're not going to get anybody that's any good coming in, because look where we are. So you're looking, you know, Sean Dyche, we've missed the boat. But then do we want him past that if we're going to stay in, you know, in the Premier League? And I just think, if we're up with a certain level of manager we can look at, and we can go, and I think we can look abroad, and maybe, you know, people are coming up with names that I can't remember. And then if we go down, then that's another level we will be looking at. So I don't know, but I'm hoping that Top's got some ideas, and he's approaching and talking to people, possibly, or reaching out as you do. And it's somebody that's currently working, because I think if it comes to the end of the season, and I think you'll agree, Brad, we're going to have more choice about who we can go for, because not every manager is going to want to do a Rodgers and leave with 10 games left of a season.
No, very true. I mean, I've just had a little bit of a thought of maybe a hot shout for a name that might be an end of a season appointment. And by that, I mean, it would depend on entirely probably where they finish, for the same reasons I said about Frank at Brentford. But Marco Silva, maybe? You look at the job
Spurs could be after him.
Yeah, well, trophyless or actually wins things. I mean, I know where I'm going.
I mean, my worry with that one is I see totally where you're coming from. When you look at him, I mean, he had Hull in the Premier League. He had Everton in the Premier League. And I think he had a third team in there as well, none of which he's done well with. He's had, up to the moment, one decent season in the Premier League.
I don't know. Can you look back at his Everton time and maybe think, well, actually, he wasn't doing that bad if you look at where they've been since?
All I know is James said, who's a big Everton fan, was in the chat, was it earlier or yesterday? And Watford, thank you, Doug. Watford was the other team he was with.
So. Oh, wow, come on, Watford. Did he have 3 days, three months? What did he have?
Don't
think
we count that, do we?
James was saying that he didn't want him back. He said, I wouldn't take Silva back. Thank God, you know, he's not with us now. So, I don't know. I mean, if we're in the Championship, but then would he want to come down to the Championship with us?
Well, maybe not then, but at least you know, with Marco Silva, he's willing to get his hands in passion, because he got himself sent off, didn't he? So at least we know we'd have a bit of passion on the touchline.
Yeah. I mean,
looking at Boris's comment, if I could interrupt, what about Johnny Evans, Jamie Vardy ticket? Hey, it'd get the fans going, wouldn't it?
Get Tony Cotty and them lot back in like it was Peter Taylor days.
And Steve Walsh.
Yeah, get them back.
A, would they be allowed because of the, you need to have your coaching
badge? Coaching badges. I thought Johnny Evans would have his coaching badge, wouldn't he? It's about 20 times to get it.
I don't know. Are they? Okay, I mean, are Jamie Vardy and Johnny Evans? I could see Johnny Evans till the end of the season, but not on a long-term basis, because it's the experience we're going to need to move on if we're still in the Premier League. You're going to want more experience than he can bring, and is he? You know what the experience of him getting up? I mean,
I don't think he'll get on the pitch, Chris.
See?
I doubt if he'll play for the rest of the season.
Well, no, he won't. He won't. I mean, he'll probably, you know, break his leg walking to the bench.
So what's he doing? What's the point?
We've got him till the end of the season, I guess.
Yeah.
But Dave, I want to say this. Mike says Pochettino, if he would come.
No, we have to
accept we are not going to get these managers. When we went through a list the other day of who's out there, Luis Enrique is being linked with Chelsea, as is Pochettino. They're not going to come to Leicester, even if we stay up.
No, they'll go to Chelsea because of the money, but they won't come to Leicester because we're another Tottenham. We're just better than them at it.
In fairness, I don't think we're even as good as Tottenham at the moment.
Well, we're not, but we're a better club.
Not this season, but one out of three isn't bad.
No, that's right. as Meat says over there.
Or Conte, because I mean, Conte's surely going to be sacked by Tottenham, aren't he? He's lost the dressing room now because half the players want him gone.
He's got some passion, so that. But strange boy, isn't he? Allegedly.
Boris, you say no more second-hand manager.
No.
Who is the second-hand manager that you are? Or are you talking about? Well, you can't be talking about Evans because you were suggesting him. Isn't every manager second-hand?
Yeah, you're going to struggle to find yourself a freshly unwrapped manager that's never been tested before. Because I think you send panic waves throughout the entirety of Leicestershire or wherever, you know, and other places where Leicester fans were, because taking on a new manager with no experience or someone who's not had experience at a high enough level, just ask the teams that went down with managers like that. It doesn't bode you well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yes, yeah, but Southampton, I mean, goodness sake, whoever appointed him needs shooting, because the guy wasn't even with it, was he, allegedly?
Well, he's a very strange boy. He's come from Luton, who were doing quite well, let's be honest with you.
Yes, they were.
So he got his.
Still are.
And still are. Was he any more of a gamble than when we took Martin O'Neill from Norwich?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Martin O'Neill had cut his teeth on for many years, hadn't he, at that level.
Wickham, and then he did it. It wasn't that long at Norwich, if you remember, actually. But
if they interview these people, surely from an interview you could tell whether the guy's suitable or not. And he clearly wasn't. For every interview he did to the press, clearly wasn't suitable. It's just bizarre.
And Martin Allen. Was that? I mean, how did we see him?
Well, good for him.
He fell out with Mandrich. In fairness,
yeah. I mean, that was just
That was a wild season, wasn't it? That was like going on a summer vacation in a what's the Americans call it, summer vacation or whatever. Blindly going around Ibiza for a week off your face and not knowing what the hell happened at the end of it, and then putting the pieces together. That summed up Leicester for that era, didn't it?
Didn't he get a day pass to the old people's home? And he just went in and bought all these ex-players that were still kicking around.
To be fair, we played some decent football. I mean, what was his last game? Watford at home? 3-4-1 or something like that? Brilliant night that was. Yeah,
God, some of the players we had then, like Jeffrey Broomer and Danny Cadamartry.
Hey, legends.
He fell out with Mandrich.
He knew he was going before that game because he did a lap of honour after the game.
Wasn't it Hasselbank that Mandrich wanted to sign? He was sat in the entrance at what was then the Walkers. Yeah. And he walked in and he went, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "Oh, I've come to sign for you." Yeah. And he knew absolutely nothing about it.
Medical was set up. Yeah.
I mean, it just sounds a bit like, Graham Potter, doesn't it? Quite rightly saying, what's going on? And refused to take it. I mean, there's certain players I would have refused. Jeffrey Broomer was maybe one of those, but I wouldn't have returned down Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, I don't think. But
Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank was a rare talent. I would have liked to have seen that at the King Power.
Yeah, that's maybe a whole different one that got away, Brad.
Whole different show, isn't it? When you think we've allowed Brendan to pick his players and look at it, and if you don't allow the manager to manage, then you're saying, well, he's not doing his job.
Yeah. What's the point of having a manager?
Hold on. Sat Brendan now. Tottenham Hotspur to decide head coach Antonio Conte's future in the next 48 hours. Get Brendan out. get him in.
There was a time they would have been considering Brendan Rodgers.
You know what's happened, don't you? You know what's happened.
They've watched this stream and have made the decision.
No, Top was on the phone on Friday to Conte. Look, mate. Your job's yours if you want it. Whether it's
we'll back season. You.
Get yourself out of Tottenham. Get yourself sacked. Pick up a few bob, and then come to Leicester.
Yeah, invest it in Leicester, and we'll give you a job for 4 years.
Yep.
There you go. You heard it here first. Sky Sports News. If you're just looking for it, mate, it says Tottenham to decide head coach Antonio Conte's future.
Allegedly, actually, on the BBC, and apparently Mitrovic is going to get a longer ban.
Yeah, I should think so.
Well.
But as much as I hate Man United,
God forbid Mitrovic, was the wild workhorse of the world and signed for Manchester United, because he would get his ban shortened.
He'd get away with it. Wouldn't have got sent off.
Yeah. Right, guys. Thank you so very, very much.
You're welcome.
That is it again for another question time. We will be back next week. Unfortunately, Dave won't be.
I've got a stand-in. Is that right?
Leaving on a jet plane. You. I don't know. Honestly, you keep... you stop bringing your sex toys onto the TV, please?
Only when the granddaughter's here, I have them. So, Macapaca's been dying to meet you.
Don't tell me about granddaughter. Your granddaughter's watching after I've just said that.
No, she's hopefully asleep. But they've been waiting to meet you, Chris. Ages.
It is very, very nice to meet whoever
been
that was.
Telling them all, that was Macapaca. Been telling them all about it.
When do you fly, sir?
Monday at about 11
in the morning.
Yeah, and we land.
I was at 11 at night. You could have still come on.
Yeah, could have done. Well, I'll be in the air. I'll be in the air. I'll see if I can get on.
Yeah, do a live stream. Do you remember that Noel's Christmas house party?
Yeah.
I bet he had Virgil Sharkey live from up in the air. It went completely wrong.
They probably got a bit more money than BBC than you have.
Well, if they can afford 1.3 million a year for Lineker, obviously they've got money to waste. Did I say that out loud?
Oh, allegedly.
Allegedly, of course. Allegedly. Have a safe journey, mate.
Yeah, cheers, mate.
Have a safe
flight. Yeah, have a good one, mate.
I'll try and
bring any spiders back.
Oh, fuck, no, those snakes as well. We're going camping, apparently.
Oh, no!
They just took a picture of one of these black-headed things that's the most poisonous snake in the world, eating another snake. I mean, come on.
I can't see what I'm saying because I would get banned.
No, you would.
You've got to be careful of them blackheads, haven't you?
Yeah, you have indeed.
Can I just say, I went to Cairns, and I was worried about all these spiders and everything that you're going to see when you're over there. I saw one little green tree-hugging frog.
Yeah, you're right.
When I was over there. I never saw, unless I went, obviously, to a park where they had, you know, the alligators and whatever.
Yeah, we went to Sydney last time, and we saw one snake in a lake, the most poisonous one, and that was it. Nothing else. Couple of spiders, but that was it.
Yes, yeah. But then again, it's the thought of them, isn't it? You know.
Yeah.
But I remember before I went that I was doing my year of trying different things, and I had one of those where you go and you get tarantulas put on your hand and snakes around your neck, and it's funny, but in a classroom in Christchurch in Dorset,
it's not funny. It's not funny.
That scary.
No, I couldn't be doing it.
Remember, they're more scared of you than you are of them. You're like, yeah, right, bugger off. You know?
Can I just point out as well, they're not my toys, okay? That last comment. They're not my toys. I promise you.
Well, you know, this is, I'm not sure about, if I'm honest.
No, seriously, they're not.
We have never seen this alleged granddaughter. I don't even know if you've got a wife. You talk to her off the screen. I don't even know if she exists.
He just lives in that room. He's not telling us the whole story.
No,
nothing else here. Just a fake bookshelf, and that's it.
Terry says, "Dave, say hi to my family in Geraldton."
Oh, Geraldton.
Geraldton.
Wow, that nearby? No, it's about 4 hours up the road. But
one of those.
My cousin.
Why you there, mate? Nip to see
my. My cousin Rachel lives there. And she was from Stoke Golding. I don't know whether it's the same.
Dare I say interbreeding going on here a bit? Are you and Terry related?
No, I should. Well, who knows? What was her surname? Rachel Morris. That's right. She lives in Geraldton.
Oh, Rachel Morris. Yeah.
Come on, have a word.
No idea. Have a safe journey, mate.
Cheers, pal. Nice seeing you, bro.
Enjoy it with your family when they obviously join you the week after.
Will do. Take care, boys.
I think we wouldn't enjoy. All the best, mate.
Don't get arrested, either of you, while I'm gone, all right?
Try not to. Depends what we're allowed to do. Take care, buddy.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers. 25th of April, he is back, and he will be joining us post that. Brad, top 10 battles. When are you back?
Yeah, should be back this Thursday. Hoping to kick things off, looking at the weekend's fixtures, but there isn't any, so I might do a different international spin on things to our usual show. I did that.
England are playing, mate.
Yeah, I know, right? I looked at the fixtures and thought, I don't remember Manchester United having to play England, but that wasn't the case. So, yeah, I might be doing an international
spin. You might have a few people watching England.
Maybe. So, I'm looking to get in contact with a few people to get the top 10 football 10s quiz, get another episode of that out. So, yeah, just keep your eye on it. Have a look. There is going to be something that will happen over this week.
And where can people find you?
Well, you can find me on here most of the time, on the Top 10 Battles YouTube channel and on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @FullTimeFocus.
And last question for you here from Doug. Are you supporting
North Macedonia?
North Macedonia.
North Macedonia. They're winning it, Doug. I never said what Euros on that show. I said they were going to win the Euros.
They're also in the Eurovision. And, of course, they could be in that as well.
Well, you see, North Macedonia, mate. England are really cocking up. At least I expect disappointment from Macedonia.
You're not a lover of international football, are you?
I'm really not.
I don't blame you, mate. I really don't blame you at all. But mate, thanks as always for coming on. It has been a pleasure, and thank you very, very much. You've got a weekend off because we've got no match. So I'll see you in a week's time.
I'll see you in a week's time, mate.
And you and me and no Iggle Piggle.
No Iggle Pickle. It'll be bliss.
It will be. All right, mate. Take care. Thanks very much.
Take care, mate.
Cheers, buddy. See ya. And if anybody is into Europe and Eurovision, I'm just going to put it here in the chat. Check out, it's a new channel I'm doing, Eurovision, and I'm going to be reviewing Eurovision songs and the rest, as they say. So please go over, give it a subscribe. Looking back at last year's competition, rating all the songs for this year's, and we'll probably do something to cover it as well. Thank you very much to everybody. Please subscribe if you are new. Smash the likes whether you're new or old. And if you've been listening on your favourite podcast platform, I thank you so very much. And as we always say at the end, take care, stay safe, and here's Arnie.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You'd better like them too, or I'll be back.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
That's all, folks.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye and see you next time.
Looking for Dr. Goodhead.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.